Dancers have a lot to balance. From their pirouettes to their jumps, a dancer's performance is a direct result of hard work and motivation. So where does food fit into this? There's a lot of myths and a ton of antiquated ideals about what a dancer's diet should look like. And I'm here to dispel those. I'm Rachel Fine, registered dietitian nutritionist and founder of To The Point Nutrition. I'm the dance nutritionist, and I'm here to tell you that to be a successful dancer, you don't have to diet. Instead, I'll teach you how to use food as your best tool to enhance your performance. A nourishing meal plan not only fuels your dancing, but also enhances your strength, improves your balance, supports your flexibility, and most importantly, reduces your risk to injury. Hi, dancers. Welcome back to Conversations with the Pros. Tonight, I'm chatting with dancer, actor, model, and TikTok extraordinaire, Silken Kelly. So we're gonna give her some time to come in and we'll get started. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I am good. How are you doing? I heard the last part of it with the TikTok extraordinaire. All right. I'm so happy to be here. This is really exciting for me to talk to you about, you know, my journey, and hopefully it can resonate with some people.
Absolutely. So Silken, tell us who you are.
Okay. Well, I am a professional dancer turned all of the things that I want to do. So now I guess model, creator, athlete. But I started my training in Colorado. I grew up in Denver. I trained with Academy of Colorado Ballet. And then after that, I got accepted into Houston Ballet Academy. And then I got into the second company there and then on to the main company. And then after that, I moved on to Dance Theater of Harlem in the city. That's when I moved to New York City. And I was with Cleveland Ballet for a little bit. And ever since then, I've been freelancing. So working with a bunch of different project-based companies here in the city, touring internationally, my favorite thing to do. And most recently, I've been really delving into a lot of things that interest me, which are more acting, modeling. I started my own nonprofit dance company. There's that as well. So producing, I've just been doing a lot of things, trying it all.
I have that mindset also where it's like something is out there that I want to do. I'm like, I just need to figure out how to make it.
Exactly. Like, do your research. If you keep thinking about it, then you need to do something about it. So yeah, absolutely. And definitely try, even if it does not work out the first time. You never know.
So Silken, I'd love for you to tell us about your relationship with food growing up and throughout your journey as a young pre-professional dancer.
Okay. So I'm kind of considered really, really tall in the dance world, in the ballet world. I'm 5'9", but growing up, I was always the runt of the litter. I was always the shortest one. I was super active all the time, and I was growing all the time. So the real switch when my relationship with food changed a little bit, which with every single woman, I think, is when around the time puberty hits. So that was around my senior year in high school. I'm a very late bloomer. So that's around when I started to have that sensation of like, oh wait, I guess I have to really take into consideration what I am eating and how it fuels me properly and how it makes me feel, basically. So that started that journey of maybe a little bit unhealthily, like really strictly watching. It's like, I can only eat this many calories per day, all that stuff. It turned into, fast forward a few years, into I want to experiment with all the types of diets that there are, because I was really curious of what would work specifically for my body. What works for me will not work for the next person. If something works for them and they can eat a certain way, it will not work for me. So I wanted to find that out for myself. I couldn't take anyone else's word for it when someone says, oh, you should go vegan, like you feel better, or you should do this diet, you'll look better, whatever.
Yeah, and I think the point that you raised here is the time at which that culture in of itself really infiltrated into your life. And this is where we see a vast difference among dancers. And it does align with those years of going through puberty. So we can see dancers as
9 years old to as late as yourself being like closer to 17 years old. And right. see it in the younger dancers where diet culture can actually impede and become very risky for young dancers and they're still developing bodies. But actually, you know, it is risky at all because at the end of the day, restrictive, following restrictive routines and said, you know, what works for one dancer doesn't necessarily work for you and what works for you doesn't work for another dancer.
Right. Sure. To me, restrictive dieting is going back to those years when I was really self-conscious and struggling with myself as a dancer. So it was just not a good time as far as eating and all those things. So it reminds me of that. It was like, you have to restrict yourself to fit a certain type, body type. I didn't feel good even after I ate. My energy was so, totally. It was weird. It wasn't low. It's just like, this is not working for me. Just like, I felt super sluggish. So
I hear about your journey with body image because a lot of dancers do struggle with building a more positive or even more neutral relationship with their body. So mm-hmm. was this you experienced in your career?
Absolutely. It's taken all my years of life to get to the point where I am now, but it's still a daily battle. Not really battle, but you have to constantly work on it. You know, growing up, going into the more professional world as a young, impressionable girl, it can be really hard because all you want to do is fit in. All you want to do is be liked. All you want to do is look the part and fit a certain mold that you are hired into. So I got super lost in myself because I was so obsessed with trying to fit that I wasn't accepting my body and how it can truly be shaped in the way that it's supposed to instead of trying to make it look like someone else, which is the worst thing you can do because you will have a different body type from the next person, even if they're the same height, completely different. So it's taken a long, long time to really accept my body for, number one, the height. Because like I said before, I was always short. And then once I hit that growth spurt, my senior year in high school, that really like, threw me for a loop. It's like, oh gosh, like now who am I in the dance world, right? Do I even fit in? So yeah, from that to accepting that I do have more muscle, I do have more curve than what society, and hopefully it's changing a little bit, but what the stereotype of a ballerina should be, which it should never be anything. Everyone, all bodies are ballet bodies. But yeah, it took a while, and I'm still, there are some parts of the day I'm like, Silken, stop it. Like, start harping on yourself. Stop saying that, like, this is not good enough. Like, oh, you need to change this.
Journey, and it's not something that necessarily we achieve and check off our to-do list, right?
Journey, absolutely journey, not a single destination. It's a constant, exactly. You know, yeah.
And every day it's a matter of learning tools and your back top of how you can do exactly what you said, which is fight back on those thoughts that might make their way. Their way, which by the way is so common because of what you said, our culture, right? Especially culture.
And also, yeah, if you think about it, like, what do? We're in a studio with mirrors everywhere, and you constantly look at yourself all day long. So how can you not go to that place sometimes? You know, it's not at the fault of the people in front of the room. It's not at the fault of the companies. It's how it naturally happens for some people. You know,
absolutely. The environment itself definitely can breed a lot of comparisons, and and what we can do as dancers is have a very proactive approach when it comes to navigating the negative thoughts and changing the negative self-talk. Exactly what you amplified.
Yeah. Also, so my journey is and my path is very, very different than any other dancer because there's the straight shot of you're in academy, you get into the second company and then main company, and then you're there, you work your way up in the company. Mine was definitely not that. I was in several different companies for a year there, half a year there, and then freelancing. So I didn't have the traditional trajectory of, you know, core to principal, right, after the academy years. So that really ate at me for a while. I was just like, am I not good enough as a dancer, you know? Am I not good enough as a person? Like, what's wrong with me? Am I not skinny enough, or all these things? But to tell you the truth, like, I am so happy that I didn't have that path, because now I'm doing things that I wouldn't change for the world, and I've had experiences that I wouldn't want to change. And I took a gap year. This was in 2019. I stopped dancing for half a year because it was when I was freelancing in the city, and it's like, I am a little bit tired of this whole struggling artist thing, and I want a little bit of steady income. So I became a personal trainer, and through those 6 or 7 months, I learned so much, and I'm so happy I did it, because I feel like I'm so much better of a dancer and stronger because of the personal training. And I think it supplements so well dance.
Also, even the time off that you took.
Sometimes it was needed. Yeah. Because towards the end of that break, I was missing ballet so much. I missed dance so much. So I was really excited to get back into it, like, full steam ahead. So yeah.
Now, interestingly, you said you did that in 2020. So 2020 hit, pandemic hit. I'm curious to know, obviously COVID-19 presented a ton of challenges for dancers.
Mm-hmm.
Also inspired some opportunities. Did you feel that any opportunity came about because of the pandemic?
Yeah. So I made my own opportunities, because speaking on what I said before, I'm super tall. My body type is not really what you would typically see. Hopefully that'll change, but I felt no one was giving me opportunity. That's what I always thought and always felt, because I wouldn't get jobs, I wouldn't get contracts, I never fit in to any companies. Maybe there are some out there that would love to have my height and body type. Haven't found it yet, but yeah, so the pandemic hit, and myself, like everyone else, just kind of lost their purpose. And so I went through all of that, and I just saw a need to do something. And so that is why I formed my own ballet company, nonprofit ballet company. And from there, it was very rewarding, because I got to do it and produce these pieces, because from an art standpoint, instead of, oh, I have to do this because it's a job, I have to do this to fit a certain look. So yeah, opportunity came. I was like, I'm gonna do my own pieces, produce my own shows, have my own company.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I want to see the ballet culture and world change a little bit. So I feel like one small person at a time can, you know, little by little change it. And my goal with my company is to bring ballet to non-traditional audiences. So people who think ballet is just like such an elitist kind of world, it's not. It's for everybody. Like, everyone can enjoy it. And I want people to see that ballerinas are athletes. Like, what we do is so impressive and intense, and to be enjoyed, you know. So that's one of my goals.
That is awesome. Really. Great to use your platform and your knowledge and all of the experience that you have really built in your journey towards where you are now to give back. I really think that's—
Yeah. And I wanted to, and it came out of the pandemic, and I saw every single performing artist struggle so much. You know, I just like, I wanted to give dancers opportunities again, just like myself. So that's another reason why I was like, I want to give more dancers opportunities. So if more and more people create companies, there will be more and more jobs for dancers. I found that I'm a lot happier now that I'm doing all these other activities outside of ballet, just ballet. Yeah, now that I've really like took my mind outside of just the only ballet world, like there's more things out there. It's not how skinny you look. It's just really not. And I'm okay with the muscles that I have and all these things. So I like to lift weights outside of ballet world.
Yeah. Finding movements that do make you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would love to know, any pre-performance rituals that you like to do, or even post-performance, like with the wind down or
fresh? So I don't really have like a specific pre-performance ritual. What I always make sure I do though, whenever I do have a show, is when possible, I make sure nothing else is going on that day. Cause I don't like to feel stress of having to get something done before like performance night. So I really like to clear my schedule and really not think about the performance like right when I wake up, but just have a really calm day because I know a lot of energy will be expelled, you know, later in the night. So that's one thing I want to make sure happens. I just have a really nice chill day before I perform. And then afterwards, I think I'm always the last one out of the theater or stage or whatever, because I feel like I move so slow, but I like to just like sit for a second and, you know, enjoy what just happened. And then I take a while to take my makeup off, my hair out. So yeah, I guess my wind down ritual is just like taking my time.
Nice. Yeah. And so again, the last question that I want to ask you to everyone I talk to here is, how would you define what it means to be the healthy dancer?
A healthy dancer? Doing the movement because you're passionate and intrigued by it, instead of doing it because you worry about what you look like. And not just about like what your body looks like, but what you look like from an audience perspective, right? If you ever feel down about yourself, about if you're nitpicking like your body apart, just take a second and realize, like, look at what my body can do for myself. Look how many years of training have gone into this, and just take a second and acknowledge that and think, wow, you know, I'm doing pretty good. So don't harp on yourself. Don't be down on yourself. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, appreciation. Yeah. That's so important. Dancers, you know, our bodies do amazing things. Developing more of those intrinsic ways of appreciating our body rather than just relying on the external.
Especially now, because I'm like, I got to accept my body for what it is. I can't change the height. I can't change the shape of it. So just be proud of your body. You know, don't compare either. Thank you. I'm so grateful to be able to come on here and talk. Thank you so much, Rachel.
Thank you. And